Well, good morning, and I also want to give Christian greetings and welcome our visitors. It's good to see the house so well filled this morning. God bless you for coming and spending your forenoon with us. We have others from our church that also have a reunion, and so some of them aren't here today because of that, so we're blessed to have you with us. This morning, what I felt led to share on comes out of a very familiar book and something we need. I need. I think all as God's children, we need it every day. And that is wisdom. So I'd like to share with you this morning, title of my message is Wisdom, a Gift from God. And I have a number of questions I would like to ask you, and maybe you have any thoughts. We'd like to talk about wisdom this morning. Okay? And most of the scripture that I'll be reading out of will be out of the book of Proverbs. And my text this morning is from Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 13 to verse 19. Says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding he has established the heavens. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, yes, what can we say this morning in relating to wisdom? It's all from you, and it's from cover to cover in this book. So we can only cover a small portion this morning. But we pray, Lord God, this morning that you will bless the word that is shared. Lord, that you will just multiply it like you did the loaves and the fishes, Father, that it can meet something that perhaps in the need of each one of our lives. Because daily we stand in need of wisdom, Lord. And we do thank you for giving us wisdom, Father, in thy word. And through thy Holy Spirit, we thank you. Bless each one that has come out today. We thank you, Father, for each one's presence here. We just ask your blessing on each life. In Jesus' name, amen. No other book in the Bible teaches about wisdom and the universal need for wisdom as the book of Proverbs does. You know, it does not give a rose-colored view of the world, but it presents the world as a place where bad things do happen. Tragedy strikes, trouble comes, life has its ups and downs. But the book of Proverbs doesn't make those things go away. But it does offer wisdom to its readers how to navigate your life in those situations. But you know, it's also one thing to read it, but it's not as easy to follow its precepts. Just for instance, Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, in most cases, anger begets what? Anger begets anger, doesn't it? Or perhaps a fist. But you know, the book of Proverbs tells us that's exactly the opposite what we should do. Wisdom says, a soft answer calms the words and cools the heat. That's what it does. Exactly the opposite of what we feel like doing. Now, we, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, it said about the lion, you know, that roars in the woods. You know what that roar does? I mean, they panic and they do exactly what the lion wants them to do. A lot of animals, some of the animals happen to, they don't know where the roar just comes from. Those close by, they'll run in his direction. You know, if they would just stand still and not fear, they could hear and listen when the lion comes their direction. They do exactly what the lion wants them to do. They do exactly the opposite of what they should be doing. Likewise with this scripture here, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Usually, that's what it stirs up. That's what our nature wants to do. But that's not what wisdom tells you to do. You know, the world denies God's word. It denies His authority. It's no wonder that the world misses out on God's wisdom. The world is searching for answers, but it never finds them. You know, it's both interesting and sad to read in newspapers of a certain problem they might be facing in school or in society and what they will come up with as an answer for those problems. Did you ever take note of that? You know, usually the answers they come up with to solve the issues in schools, in society, seem actually to make it worse than solve the problems. You know, just what do you do with teenage pregnancy in high school? What do you do with that? It's a serious issue. What do they come up with for answers? They lack the wisdom of God, and the situation just gets worse and worse. They have their problems. They have not reached the starting gate. The starting place is the fear of the Lord. But you know, that went out the door when they put prayer out of the schools and the Ten Commandments. So what can you expect? They don't want wisdom. So they have to deal with the consequences of lacking true wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God. You know, as Christians, we have common sense. We at least think we have common sense, and we ought to know what works and what doesn't work. And the wisdom from Proverbs can help all of us with that. You know, on the other hand, I also thought, just because you're born again doesn't mean you're filled with wisdom now. It should be you have a desire to grow in wisdom like Jesus. Well, it speaks of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, 52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Likewise with you, after you're born again, God wants you, and that should be our desire, to increase in wisdom and in stature with favor with God and man. And it's also possible to have wisdom and not be a Christian. You can become a student of the book of Proverbs and experience the blessings by following its principles that you read in the Bible. But to be a Christian, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. Your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you can benefit from the blessings of wisdom by reading His Word and following its precepts in the book of Proverbs. But that is not necessarily what makes you a Christian. After you're a Christian, yes, God wants to lead and to guide us in wisdom. Apostle Paul's desire for the church at Colossae was, in first chapter, verse 9, it says, "For this cause, we also, since the day that we heard it," they heard of their faith at the church at Colossae, he says, "do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That was his prayer for the church at Colossae. They might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Okay, my first question I have is, what is wisdom? What is knowledge? What is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? And I'll just give you the next question. You can think about it. Where do you find wisdom and where do you get it? And it also says here in our text, it says, wisdom is better than gold or silver, precious stones. Why is wisdom worth more than gold and silver and precious stones? And it also says here, length of days is in her right hand. It says that in another place in Proverbs. When you walk in wisdom, do you really live longer? So, okay, what is wisdom? Anyone have any thoughts on what wisdom is? I want you to think. And what is knowledge? What is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Yes, Brother Willard.
Someone said wisdom is the ability to perceive.
Thank you, Willard. Very good. Very good. That's just what I had in mind too. Well, what is knowledge? Abner. That's very good. Thank you. Very good. I like that. The accumulation of facts or information. But, you know, you don't. Not necessary. It just gives you the facts, and that's what knowledge is. Ordered information. Knowing the facts. Not knowing is being ignorant. Well, not knowing. Wisdom is the ability to see or have insight relating to the information given, relating to the knowledge that was given to you. But it's also coupled with just discernment as to what is true and right, and what course of action to follow, then putting into practice what you know. That is wisdom. Yes, Abner. No. Yes. You can have knowledge without wisdom. Wisdom is more than just mental in the head, but it is also coupled with action. That's what Proverbs and Jesus would teach out of Matthew chapter 7. Wisdom is not just mental in the head, it is also coupled with action. When the two go together, that's wisdom. If knowledge were the answer to many perplexing problems in society, you know, it would be fixed. You would just educate more. But a person can be very intelligent or educated, but lack wisdom. In the choices and in the decisions of life that carry weighty consequences. In relationships, in what we spend our time and money, and so forth. A person can be very intelligent, yet not of a wise character. A lack of wisdom in what it takes to have a successful, even in his family life. So I'd like to go over that wisdom again. What is wisdom? It is the ability to see or have insight relating to the information given, coupled with just discernment as what is true and right and what course of action to follow, then putting into practice that which you know. You know, and wisdom will always reach for the highest light of what you know in your conscience. In studying the book of Proverbs, you find that through wisdom you have a successful and blessed life. And because of the lack of it, you can get a wasted life. Speaks also that of that in Proverbs. Many trials in our lives come because we do not exercise wisdom. That hasty word, that action, or that purchase, that relationship. With that, you know, think of King David. He was a man of God, but not everything he did was wise. When he reached out and touched someone else, that wasn't his. And Proverbs warns about that, doesn't it? Yes. Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 7. Proverbs, I think, 3. That was not wise. And it brought a lot of grief and sorrow to David's life and his family, his children. The trials can come to us because, even though we're Christians, but because of using the lack, not exercising wisdom. And I thought I did something the other day that wasn't wise at all. And sometimes we do that, but sometimes God spares us the consequences of our mistakes that we do and things that, even though we know better, we did it. I was loaded with my truck and this was on a country road, a two-lane country road, so it wasn't a real ride. But I came up on an S-curve and I was thinking about wisdom. You know, I was thinking about this message today. And went on an S-curve, and right in front of me was the state tractor mowing along the road. And it was just like so quick, what do I do? I could have hit the brakes. but I just swerved around him. And it was an S-curve all the way around, so I couldn't see very far ahead. And after I did that, I thought how foolish that was. Because if a car would have come out of the curve ahead of me, they wouldn't have had a chance to stop. I didn't have a chance to stop. You know, it was just a hope something doesn't come. But it happened so quick. But I was very thankful after that. I was thinking about that. I thought, wow, that wasn't the right thing to do. And even though I was thinking about wisdom, you know, yet God, I think, was very gracious. It's not a well-traveled road, but still, it was not wisdom. Okay, back to wisdom. James says in James chapter 3, 18, it gives us a little story, insight on what wisdom is. Well, Proverbs says this: do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. You know, so it's possible to think that we have wisdom and not. And it relates that to, in this little story here, it relates that, you know, years ago in the California gold rush, it created its share of prospectors who thought they had struck it rich until learning about a glittering rock that came to be known as fool's gold. More than a few saw their dreams fade in the metallic luster and brass-colored hue of a relatively worthless mineral called iron pyrite. Such disappointment has parallels in all of our lives. Sooner or later, each of us learns that all that glitters is not gold. What looks like a bargain is not necessarily a good deal. In so many ways, we need wisdom to see the difference between real treasure and a worthless look-alike. So James tells us what the true gold is, what wisdom is, what we're really looking for. You know, when they took that gold that looked like gold, they took it in and got it tested, it was just worthless. It's called pyrite. James tells us what it is, the true wisdom that we're talking about. In James chapter 3. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, this wisdom descendeth not from above. The wisdom that we want to look at this morning is the wisdom that is from above, is from God, not the worldly wisdom. But he says this wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first peaceable, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. The first one, pure, says it is first pure. To the extent that our wisdom comes from God, it is not polluted with the toxins of envy and selfish ambition. Nor will its insight leave us double-minded about whether we want God's help in our troubles and conflicts of our lives. The next one, peaceable. This is not a desire for a peace at any price. because it is a wisdom rooted in pure motives. It longs to draw others into a harmony that has its source in God. James is asking for truth and love-based peace as he responds to conflicts that are dividing the family of God. Gentle. To further express a wisdom that loves peace, James uses a word that carries the meaning of being gracious and patient with others. It is a strength under control that enables us to make allowances for one another. It is a reasonable, fair, equitable gentleness that helps us to show our love and goodwill of Christ in the face of real potential conflict. Easy to be entreated. Willing to yield. Because of the preceding conditions and qualifiers, this is not a surrender to evil. It reflects a willingness to give up our own rights. When doing so, we'll express the strength of our concern for others. Such yielding also gives us a chance to show by our actions that we believe our own well-being is found not by winning or by getting our own way, but by entrusting ourselves to God. Full of mercy and good fruits, the wisdom that comes from God is discerning, not from judgmental, nor does it callously assume that those who are suffering deserve their pain more than those who are blessed with good circumstances. Attitudes that add to the troubles of hurting people reflect the wisdom from below. The wisdom from above seeks to relieve their misery without partiality. Worthless wisdom teaches us to flatter and indulge those who have something to offer us. It causes us to ignore and disrespect those whose problems could cost us time, money, or effort. True wisdom sees all people as those for whom Christ died. Last one, without hypocrisy. Being wise in our own eyes prompts us to cover up motives that show our real nature. The wisdom of God enables us to be real and transparent in our love and respect for others. That is the true wisdom that is from above. That is the wisdom we want to talk about this morning. The wisdom that God offers to each one of us as a gift. What did Jesus say in relating to wisdom? We find in Matthew chapter 7. He says this in verse 24. Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now remember, he's saying this just after he has come through teaching his disciples in relating to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And this is the conclusion of his talk with them. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, for great was the fall of it. The wise man and the foolish man. This is what Jesus said in relating to wisdom. Okay, our text in Proverbs 3 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Where do you find wisdom? It says something, it gives it like, it's something that you don't just inherit because you're a Kaufman or a Berge or a Miller. It doesn't come by name titles. You can't purchase it with money. But he gives here the thought, happy is the man that findeth it. It's something that you should be seeking for. And it's not something that God wants to hide from you. God wants to give it to you. Where do you find wisdom? Something to be sought after. James 1, I think we all know that answers, number of different answers. You know, it says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom comes from God, but there's also other sources, but they ultimately are all from God. James 1, verse 5 and 7 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Again, here it gives the indication somebody seeking for wisdom. He tells you, ask, seek. Jesus says, seek and he shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you. But the secret is to ask in faith. You know, wisdom is a gift from God. God was pleased to give it to King Solomon. When Solomon asked for wisdom, he asked, you know, above riches, fame, and honor. He gave it to Solomon. Likewise, he'll give it to you. But I'd just like to read a portion of that out of 1 Kings chapter 3, where Solomon asks for wisdom. He was king, and he says, in his prayer, he says this, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I'm but a little child. I know not how to go about or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? What I'd like for us to notice here is notice his humility in his prayer or in his request to God when he asked for wisdom. Did you ever notice that? He says, I'm but a little child. He was king. But that's how he felt in his heart. I believe he was overwhelmed with his new responsibility, and desperately needed God's wisdom. So he was humble in his position, even though he was king. He was humble in his request. That is one principle when you ask for wisdom. The first one I said was faith, wasn't it? Another one is humility. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But God says this, but with the lowly or with the humble is wisdom. Yes. That is probably why wisdom so easily can pass us by. We don't receive it. It takes humility to receive it. Young people, do you desire wisdom? If you could go somewhere and get 20 years of wisdom, what would it be worth to you? I can tell you where you can get that. 20 years of wisdom from your parents, your mom or your dad. They're probably 20 years older and plus, more than you. And you can tap into their reservoir of wisdom. And that's why God says in the book of Proverbs, you can tap into their reservoir of wisdom now. And I know they'll be glad to share it with you. Probably have done so already, because it says here in Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Maybe you don't see it that way at this time, but in years to come, in retrospect, as you look back, and you follow the counsel of your parents, your mom or your dad, you will find that, yes, it was an ornament of grace on my head and chains about my neck. It says, Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. See, it takes humility to hear, to listen. Proverbs 8, verse 8 and 9, reprove not a scorner. Why? Because a scorner, you know, he's got such a proud heart. It says, lest he hate thee, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. I mean, he will increase in wisdom. Another principle is, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Those you associate with, spend time with, will impact you and how your life and how you grow in wisdom. Now that's what a pretty popular scripture. Most of the teachers, I think, that go into the jail, give the guys in there because they don't want to be in. And some of them say, I'll never come in here again. Never come in here again. Most of them say, a lot of times they hear this verse, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Okay, if you don't want to come in here when you go out, you have to find others to associate with you. Those that can come alongside you and build you up. Those that can encourage you in your walk with God. That is what you need to seek after. But so many times, it doesn't work that way. They go out. They're glad to be out. Maybe for a little while, they might attend church. Then the temptations come and their friends come, their associates come, and just take them down again. So it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You can learn from nature. Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 8 says this, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. So nature even tells us wisdom, doesn't it? Says, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the winter, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Just the ant and teaches that. Says, a wise man will learn from the experiences of others. An ordinary will learn from his own experiences. You know, you can do that too. We should. Learn from other people's experiences. Learn from our own experiences. Trial or error. A fool learns from nobody's experiences, including his own. He doesn't even learn from that. Okay. Now it says, verse 16, it says, length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. And also in chapter 16, verse 16. Notice, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than chosen silver? And also, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Why is wisdom better and worth more than gold and silver and precious stones, yet so little sought after? Any thoughts? Why is wisdom better than gold or silver? Money. Stocks. Yet so little sought after. Okay. Thank you for your thoughts. A few of mine. A few reasons that I found in the Word of God. Proverbs 10:21 says, fools die for lack of wisdom. Doesn't matter whether they're young or old. It says they die for lack of wisdom. That's sad, but it's true. As you sit here this morning, you can probably think of someone that has died because of lack of wisdom. Right? Yes, accidents happen to everybody. But you can think of somebody that died because of lack of wisdom. That's just one thing that tells you that wisdom is better than silver or gold. It says here in chapter 8, riches and honor are with me, says wisdom. Durable riches and righteousness. Then he says, excuse me, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. That's what wisdom wants to do. He says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. You know, another reason, I don't know, this is a true story. I don't know, I'm not just sure how old the boy was, but I just say 16 years old, gets a new sports car. Gets a new sports car. Dad has the gold. He can buy his son a new sports car. Is that wisdom? He's got the gold. He's got the cash. Son can't keep his foot off the pedal. Going around a curve at over 100 miles an hour. He kills himself. And I think a few others. And hurts the others in the car. You see why wisdom is better than gold and silver? You know, people mourn. There's pain. There's hurt. That just happened. I'm not sure. What was it? 2 years ago over here in Osterberg? A lot of grief. That tells us why wisdom is better than gold. And I'm sure his mother probably told him, don't do that. Don't speed like that. Don't. She was giving him instructions in wisdom. Yet he didn't heed to it. He had the knowledge, But that, it never went any further than that. The consequences were great. He lost his life. Had a grieving family. And I think there was... How many were killed in that accident? You remember? Yeah. No, over here in Osterberg. Pardon? Two. Two were killed. Ecclesiastics, first Proverbs 24:3-4. Thinking about the fruit of wisdom. It says here, through wisdom a house is builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers, meaning the rooms, be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Isn't that the desire of every young, every married couple? It says, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all present, pleasant, and pleasant riches. There's so many we could spend time on that, what the pleasant riches are. The joy, the peace. Love in a home. Pleasant, the reward, the fruit is more than earthly treasure. Ecclesiastics 9:13-15 says, this wisdom, Solomon says, this wisdom have I seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city, a few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. I wonder how he did it. Doesn't say how he did it. But possibly that was a story in Solomon's time of something that happened. An aggressive king coming against a small town, a small city, and a wise person in there, it says, delivered the city. Proverbs 3:16. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. And by me shall thy days be multiplied, and thy years of thy life shall be increased. Another thought on wisdom. The fruit of it, sometimes situations come in our lives that we desperately need wisdom. What to do. White is better than gold and silver. I remember years ago, and today it probably, when I think about it, it almost shakes me more than it did back at that time. But when I had still the store at D&M, I had an employee that had a real anger problem. And I knew that I had to do something. This couldn't go on like this. He worked in the nursery division that I had at that time, and I wanted to grow and expand it. But I knew he, when we got the nursery, he kind of came with it. What do I knew? And I knew now to fire him probably wouldn't work the best. So I just decided to, after the season was over, I decided to drop the nursery. My accountant wrote him a letter and said, D&M's not continuing to plan to keep the nursery. And right shortly after he got the letter, he came walking into the store. He was so enraged. And by the way, he very much professed to be a Christian too. He was enraged that he was literally shaking. And he was yelling at me. And I remember I just walked over to him and I just immediately, I didn't argue with him or anything. I just laid my hand on his shoulder and I started praying for him. And he just slowed down, shaking down. Then he stopped shaking, and I just continued to pray for him. And after I finished praying, he just turned around and walked out. sometime later, a little bit later, he came in the store and he had his coat, I saw under his coat he had a gun. Had his revolver with him. And you know, today you hear about those things when an employee gets upset at his boss, he just goes in and he opens fire. But he comes walking in. I don't know, I remember I didn't have any fear, but he was walking around there. And he said why he brought the gun, because he wants to kill the snakes out of the mulch pile. And, you know, I saw that this isn't settled. And what should I do? You know, that's where you need wisdom. And in a time like that, yes, it's such a blessing then to know the Word of God. God wants to lead us and give us wisdom. But you know, if we have an attitude like it says here in Proverbs, because I have called and he refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. This is what wisdom is saying. But he hath set at naught my counsel and would none of my reproof. Then he says, I will laugh when your calamity cometh. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. And at that time is not to, you know, in your life to reject wisdom in your life, but then come to a tragedy in your life, a desperate need, then all at once we're trying to come up with what to do. You know, wisdom is something, it's like a reservoir. When needed, you should be able to draw from it. You should be able to draw from it. That's the blessing of, you know, studying the Word of God and knowing what God says about situations in life. Anyhow, that time he came in, you know, with his gun. I think he came one or couple times in, and I knew I had to do something. And I was familiar with it. It kept coming to me in Proverbs. It says about doing good for evil. And I think I'll just like to read it in Romans. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide all things honest in the sight of God. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So I knew that he didn't have a lot of money, and I knew he needed a coat. And at that time I went and I bought a coat. I think I paid around $60 for it. I put it in a box. I wrote a note, a nice letter. I sent it, I think UPS, to his home. When he got that coat the next week, he came into the store. He was completely different. He was a changed man. He came in. Something happened. He was his old self again. He loved me. And I never really apologized much about things, but I saw that things were different. You know, when you follow God's way of wisdom, it works. It works. Then it was short a time later. Nelson, he was, I think, about five, maybe four or five. He bought a little brand new scooter for Nelson. And we still have it today. And I should probably make sure we keep it because there's a story behind that. He brought it up to our home. He just wanted to give it to us. And from there on, we had a pretty decent relationship. You know, he passed away probably 10 years after that, maybe 8 years after that. You know, through wisdom, I was delivered. Okay, the next one I have, question I have, I'll just go through this quickly. When you walk in wisdom, do you live longer? It says, for by me thy days shall be multiplied and thy years of thy life shall be increased. What do you think on that one? Well, yes, on an average they do. Doesn't mean that every person will, but as an average, those that walk in wisdom live longer than those that don't walk in wisdom. Average life expectancy in America is 78 years plus. That's the average. Average life expectancy of an alcoholic is 55 to 56 years. Average life of a drug addict is 15 to 20 years after they become addicted. And I also find another place. I found this online, and it also said average is could be up around 40 to 50 years. But still, it's not a normal life. That's the average. Average life expectancy of a homosexual was 43 to 46 years. Is that a lifestyle of wisdom according to God's word and plan? No, you can see God's blessing and curses upon that. You know, it's not them. It should give us a heart of compassion to help these people. You know, we're not... It should move us because there is a better way. The average now is from 58 to 60 years with the increase of drugs and medical care. Still 18 to 20 years less than normal. Study after study show that the gay lifestyle, whether male or female, can take 15, 20, 30 years off of someone's lifespan. Average life of a porn star is 37.43 years. These premature deaths caused by drugs, suicide, murder, alcohol abuse, accidental death, disease, heart attacks, and some of these were very young when they died, just from a heart attack. Average was taken of 129 stars over a period of 20 years. You know, that's sad indeed. There is a better way, and that is to walk in the wisdom and in the fear of God. So the average do live longer, that walk in wisdom. Okay, closing with Deuteronomy 32:29. God's pleas, he says this, oh, that they were wise, speaking of men, and that they understood this, that they will consider their latter end. I believe that's God's heart for all of us here today. It says, oh, that you were wise, and that you would understand this, that you would consider all their latter end. You know, when you walk in God's wisdom as a Christian, you don't have anything to fear. But when we don't, like the children of Israel, we have God's judgment to fear. Are you ready this morning for your latter end? We don't know when that will be. The young die as well as the old. But God says, it's something we need to consider. It's something that we need to think about. He has made all the provisions that we don't have to fear. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'll turn the time over to Abner.